Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. Sam Horn. It was presented in November of 2007. The title of the message, Build a Spirit-Driven Life.
How do you measure, how do you evaluate whether or not the Word of God is building in you the kind of spiritual maturity that results in a spirit-driven life? How do you measure that? Sometimes you'll have people who will come into your life and your initial assessment is, boy, these people really know the Lord. They really have seemingly a solid walk with God, because when they come to you, they come with spiritual words. They come with an initial enthusiasm about the Lord's work. Sometimes they come to you with ministry eagerness in their life. And initially, as you start looking at their life on the surface, it looks like this person has grown and has literally developed deeply in the Lord. And then all of a sudden, as you get to know this person, and as you start to penetrate beneath the surface, you're beginning to sense that, boy, there's really not what I thought was here. And frequently in the ministry, particularly as you build your own life and as you build the life of people around you, you're going to encounter what looks to be on the surface a life that is driven by the Spirit. But as you start getting underneath the surface, you're going to realize, boy, there's some major issues that need to change here. And it's always easier to spot somebody else's life, isn't it? And where we need to be looking first is where? In our own heart. If you want to find out whether or not your life is truly being built by the Spirit, and there is truly spiritual maturity happening in your life, there ought to be some biblical acid tests. And we're looking at a passage this morning that gives you three acid tests that will reveal whether or not you are allowing the Holy Spirit that dwells in you to build your inner man so that you are looking more like Jesus Christ and growing in His Word and being usable for the kingdom of God. Let me take you to that test. It starts in verse 15 of chapter 5. And let me just read these verses with you. In verse 15, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or that you walk carefully or wisely. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, what does that look like? Well, verse 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So when you come to verse 18, one of the acid tests that God gives to you about whether or not your life is being developed into the image of Christ is whether or not the Spirit of God that indwells you, that lives inside you, is actually controlling your life. You know, the Spirit of God can be in you and not controlling you. A lot of times we treat the Holy Spirit as the passenger in the car of our life, when in essence what this passage is saying to us is He needs to be the one controlling the direction and the outflow of our life. So when you look at 1 Corinthians or Ephesians 5:18, and it talks about being filled with the Spirit, it's talking about the fact that as you look at your life, the Holy Spirit needs to be controlling your life so that everything that you do is an outflow of that. So here is the question. How do you know whether or not the Holy Spirit is driving the vehicle of your life? How do you know if this is happening? There ought to be some tests that will tell you whether or not You are letting the Holy Spirit control your life. Because, you know, if you were to just meet somebody and talk to them about whether or not the Holy Spirit is in control of their life, most people who are believers are going to nod their head and say, well, obviously He's in control of my life. He indwells me. I read my Bible. I go to church. But how do you know if a person is really being controlled by the Spirit or he's just talking like he's being controlled by the Spirit? In other words, go back to our illustration about the real gold and the fool's gold. What is the acid test that you can give your life to see whether or not it's really being driven and directed and built by the Holy Spirit? Well, let me give you three tests. Here's the first one. There is the acid test of Spirit-controlled communication. If the Holy Spirit is really controlling your life, if that's really going on in your heart as a Christian, here is the first place it will show up. It will show up in a Spirit-controlled communication. In other words, your tongue will be different. Your tongue will be different. So what does Spirit-controlled communication look like? Well, let me show it to you here in the text. Verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's talking there about being controlled by the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. Here's the first thing that happens. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 19 talks about the fact that if you really are controlled by the Spirit of God, the first evidence of this is going to be in your tongue and in the way you communicate. Look at the communication here and let's see how different it is than what it used to be. It comes from a completely different source. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The word spiritual there tells us where these songs are coming from. They are coming from the Holy Spirit of God. The first thing that happens to a person who is controlled by the Spirit of God is that the Spirit of God starts directing his speech and his communication. You say, well, you know, Pastor Sam, I think this is really talking about music because you have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and you're supposed to make melody in your heart to the Lord, so obviously this is musical. But it's very interesting that in verse 19, the very first thing that Paul says is not singing to yourselves, it's speaking to yourselves. This goes way beyond what you just sing in church. This idea literally encompasses your entire communication. And what Paul is saying is this: if you want to know whether or not a person is truly controlled by the Spirit of God, the first test that you can give them, the acid test that will reveal what is really going on in their heart, is give a good hard look at their communication. Do they manifest transformed communication? Does their communication have its source in God? When you meet a person whose mouth is constantly full of complaining, constantly full of gossip, constantly full of accusation or discontentedness, do you think that's coming from the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, when you find a person and you listen to them talk and all they can talk about is how frustrated they are with the pastor or how frustrated they are with another ministry leader here, do you think that talk is coming from the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, this really does become an incredibly powerful test because it really reveals the source of our communication. And if you're being controlled by the Spirit of God, the first thing He wants to control is your communication. What you say, when you say it, how you say it, and who you say it about and to. So it has a different source. Notice something else. Spirit-controlled communication has a totally different content. What is the content of your speech going to be marked by when it is controlled by and sourced in the Holy Spirit of God? Well, Paul says in verse 19, it's going to be marked by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's going to be, in other words, you could say it this way, it is going to be biblical in its content. It's going to be biblical in its content. It doesn't just come from a different source. It comes marked by a different content. People whose speech is directed by the Spirit will talk in completely different ways about completely different things, and their speech will constantly be marked by a conformity to what God has said in His Word about those things. I mean, that's really true, isn't it? Their communication will be Bible-based. That's what Psalms are. It will be praise-oriented. It will magnify God. That's what hymns are. And it will be Spirit-prompted. That's what spiritual songs are. And it occurs in a completely different context. I mean, if you look at verse 19 again, you're to speak to yourselves at the first part of the verse, and you're to make melody in your heart to the Lord in the last part of the verse. So when I talk about Spirit-controlled communication, it is a communication that is entirely different than the way I used to speak when I was a lost man. It happens in a different way. It happens in a different context. I'm doing this to other people. I'm doing this to the Lord. It's biblically based. It is literally going to have a different content, and it's going to have a different purpose. In Colossians chapter 3, which is like the verse that's the twin to this verse, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." It has a different purpose, and its purpose is edification. Edification. Its purpose is encouragement. That's what admonishment means. It means encouragement. And it has as its purpose exaltation, with grace in your heart to the Lord. And it's done in a completely different manner. It's done in a completely different manner. It is joyful communication, making melody in your heart in Ephesians 5:19. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord in Colossians chapter 3. So here's the first test. When you take your life and you kind of dump it in the acid of God's Word, what melts away and is left? If you want to really determine whether or not the Spirit of God is controlling your life, here is the first test. Does He control what you talk about and what you sing about? Does He control you to the point that you have a completely different communication than you did before you met the Lord? Here's the second test. Let me give you the second test. There is the test of Spirit-controlled communication, but there is also the test of a transformed heart attitude. Remember we said a minute ago that out of your heart the mouth speaks? Everything in verse 19 has to come out of something, right? So you say, well, Pastor, how in the world am I ever going to get that way? Because you know what? I tend to be a complainer. I tend to be a griper. I really struggle with this in my life. Or I really am not respectful to my authorities. I'm constantly thinking wrong thoughts about them. How do I change? And the Holy Spirit changes us by controlling something else. Verse 19 is coming out of something. So we're getting a little deeper now. We're going to find out where Spirit-controlled communication comes from. It comes from a Spirit-transformed heart. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is this transformed communication going to come out? And the answer is from a changed heart, that the Holy Spirit of God is changing. Well, what is He changing about my heart? And here's what He's changing. He's making me thankful. You know what you will discover about a person who is really, truly controlled of the Spirit? A person who is really, truly controlled of the Spirit, what would you think the number one mark of his heart would be? Well, you know, if you were asking me, I might say, well, he knows a lot of Bible verses. I mean, a Spirit-controlled person is somebody who knows the Bible really, really well. Or, you know what, he's somebody that's really involved in ministry. He's really, really busy for God. He does a lot of things for God. That's what a spirit... You know what the Bible mark of a Spirit-controlled person is? It's not just that his communication is different. His communication is different because God has changed something inside of him. And here it is. This person is thankful. You mark it down. When you meet somebody who's not thankful, they're not Spirit-controlled. That isn't coming from the Spirit of God. You say, well, how do you know? Because the Spirit of God wrote this, and this is His will. I mean, notice what He says in verse 19. Giving thanks when? You see there in verse 19? Giving thanks always. So we're to be thankful all the time. What are we to be thankful for? I'm supposed to be thankful at all times for what? All things. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, Paul says, let me explain how that will work. You will be thankful for all things when you realize that you're thanking God. And that's what he says here to God the Father. We are to give thanks at all times for all things to God the Father. And you say, well, Pastor Sam, I'm not really sure how that helps me yet. Because frankly, my life has got a ton of stuff in it that's really hard to thank God for. You know, I'm standing up in front of you here this morning, and there's some things that God brought into my life and into my family's life that make it very hard to thank Him for. I mean, it's very hard to thank God for a terminal disease that your wife has that's literally wasting away her body. And you know what? I know that it is God's will for me to get on my knees before Him and out of a heart that is entirely open to Him and entirely transparent before Him to say to Him, thank you for this at all times. I mean, I'm supposed to do that. But here's what happens. It's hard for me to do that because I question God. How can this be good? And God says to me, you know what? Let me explain something to you. I have already demonstrated my goodness to you in a way that you should never question. That's why the verse goes on to say, giving thanks in all things, right, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I can trust God to thank Him for this is that He's already proven that He loves me in the ultimate way by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Because the thing Satan wants me to constantly challenge when I am in the midst of a trial is that God is good. See, God isn't good, or He wouldn't do this to you. Or God isn't gracious, or He wouldn't do this to you. You know, I've got a 3-year-old daughter, and I've got an 11-year-old son, and I remember the night I had to tell my son about his mom having cancer. That's probably one of the hardest nights of my life that I can remember in a long time. We sat out in the Starbucks, and we talked, and my heart was just ripped up inside. And I can remember going home, and after we got home, and he had gone on up to bed and went to sleep, I went to bed, and you know, my wife and I prayed together, and I went to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. I was so internally disturbed. And I can remember going downstairs into my basement, and I have a chair down there, and I just kind of fell into that chair, and I was just crying uncontrollably. And in my heart, I was saying, God, how can you do this to two kids? How can you do this to two kids who have done nothing to you? How can you do this to their mother? How can you do this to them? I mean, I was just really struggling at very basic levels with this goodness of God thing. And God said to me, not audibly, but sometimes God allows you just to know that He is communicating to you. And it was almost like God said this, you know what? We're going to have this talk one time. I'm going to let you ask that question one time. But after I answer it, I don't ever want you to question my goodness again. Look at what I did for those two children and for your wife and for you when I hung my son on a cross, when he begged for his life, when my son was in the garden asking me to let this cup pass. I sent Roman soldiers as an answer, and they hung him on a cross so that I could say yes to you. So don't ever question whether or not I love you. Boy, when you get that kind of a thought from the Holy Spirit of God, it just literally levels you, right? When you understand that everything that happens in your life has to, it literally has to be viewed through the lens of what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ, it's easy to have a thankful heart. That's why this is such a revealing test. There is the test of Spirit-controlled communication, and that's coming out of Spirit-transformed heart. Well, here's the last thing. And you don't get a Spirit-transformed heart till this happens. See how it builds? You don't get the Spirit-controlled communication until God changes your heart. You don't get a changed heart until you get this third thing. What is it? There has to be transformed relationships in your life. And a transformed relationship builds on what he talks about in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you want to have a Spirit-controlled life, it's going to show up in transformed communication that comes out of a transformed heart that is made thankful by what God did for you on the cross, but that only happens when you have done what verse 21 says. And the key word in verse 21 is the word submitted. The word submitted literally means to be properly arranged under the authority of God. To be properly arranged under the authority of God. And here's the teaching of the verse. There are going to be in your life people that God puts in authority over you, and one of the marks of whether or not the Spirit of God is really controlling your life is how you relate to that person that God has put over your life. Some of you HBBI students, God has put some teachers over your life, right? And if you want to know whether or not you're Spirit-controlled, ask yourself this: do I submit to what my teachers want me to do? Some of our children have been given imperfect parents by God. My children have two imperfect parents that God put in their life. Sometimes I feel sorry for them. I'm like, Lord, you could have given them better parents. I mean, why'd you give them us? God gave two imperfect parents to these two kids. And you know what God's will for them is? To be properly arranged under the authority of these two imperfect, sinful parents. You know what God did to my wife? He gave her an imperfect husband. I mean, I would hate to be married to me. You ever thought about being married to you? It'd be a horrible thing. My wife has been given a husband that's imperfect. And you know what God says, His will for her? You know what? You need to be properly arranged under the authority of that man who's imperfect. And one of the marks about whether or not you literally are a Spirit-driven person is whether or not you are properly arranged under the authorities that God has given in your life. You know what? Harvest Baptist Church is a great church, but it's not a perfect church. And if God has brought you here and He's placed you in the membership of this body, He knew the pastor that He was going to send here, and you need to be properly arranged under His authority. Now here's the real test. I don't have any problem submitting to somebody as long as I already want to do what they're telling me to do. I don't have any problem submitting as long as they're telling me to do something I already want to do or I really don't care a lot about. Where submission is always hard is when I don't want to do what my authority has asked me to do. Or I think there's a better way. That is always the test of submission. It's never whether or not you are doing what you would have done anyway. It's always, how do you arrange yourself in heart and in spirit and in attitude under an authority that God has put over you when that authority is asking you to do something that you don't want to do? And you know what the Bible says? A Spirit-controlled person will do that. It's one of the marks. Why? Because he's rightly related to God. And he is submitting not just to that person who's in authority, he's submitting to God who put that person in his life. I can submit to the authorities in my life when I am submitted to God because God put those authorities in my life. So if you want to build a life that is driven by the Spirit, here's where it starts. And you will never be able to submit to the authority of imperfect men and women if you aren't submitted to the authority of a perfect God. And that's why this passage is so critical. When we talk about building a life that is Spirit-driven, here's where it starts. Are you rightly related to God? And are you properly arranged under the authorities of other people in your life? Because if you are, then there's something that God does in your heart that makes you thankful. And when you have a thankful heart, because you're submitted to God and you're rightly related to the other people in your life, that heart is going to communicate differently. When you are not submitted to God and you are in a relationship or under an authority and you're chafing at it, your heart grows angry, it grows bitter, it grows accusatory, it just becomes very discontent, and that's going to feed your tongue. And out of your tongue is going to come criticism, there's going to come accusation, there's going to come all kinds of things that literally tear down the very thing that God is doing. And yet if somebody were to ask you, are you an obedient Christian, you're like, well, yeah, of course I am. Well, what's the test? Well, let's look at the test. What's coming out of your tongue? And where's that coming from? Well, that's coming out of your heart. Why is your heart like that? Because you're not submitted to the will of God. Because God put you in these relationships with these imperfect people, and He said, I want you to be rightly related to them. So this becomes a very key test in my life to determine whether or not. And every time I give myself this test, you know what I discover? There's new things I have to work on. There's new things I have to work on. So you look at this passage and you ask yourself, as I bathe my life in the acid of God's Word, what is being revealed? Do I have a Spirit-controlled tongue? Am I communicating in ways that please the Lord? Is it coming out of the right heart that has been transformed into a thankful heart? And is all of that being grounded on and built out of a right relationship to God, where I'm submitted to the authority of His Word and the authorities that He's placed over my life? You know, when we live this way, God's blessing will be so evident in our life, and God's grace will literally give us the ability to move forward for Him.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, Build a Spirit-Driven Life, from Dr. Sam Horn. It was originally presented in November of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.